chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We've heard stories today in our worship of following the call of God and the life of Martin Luther King Jr. and the life of Elisha. And now in Luke 5, we hear about the calling of some of those first disciples and their following of Jesus. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let us pray. O Lord, as you work to gather people into the life of your kingdom, cast the net of your word here among us today and gather us in. Make us like those crowds there on the shore, hungry and craving your word, so that we can hear your call and follow in the way of Jesus. We pray now in his name. Amen. In 1986, there were two Israeli fishermen who found a boat buried in some mud on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. The mud had protected the vessel from oxygen or from hungry microorganisms, but the wood itself was completely waterlogged. It was like wet cardboard. So after a long and complicated excavation and then having the boat submerged in chemicals for 7 years, it was put on display at a museum, and I was caught by the way that one marine archaeologist described it. He said, "It's the ugliest boat I've ever seen. It was made out of 12 different types of wood, most of it recycled. No two planks are the same. You have to give the builder a lot of credit because he made the whole thing out of junk. It floated for a long time. The repairs show between 30 and 60 years of use." Now, those 3 to 6 decades probably included the first century, and though there's no evidence that directly connects that particular boat with Jesus and his disciples, it was more than likely like the kind of boat that they would have used, which has made it historically significant, but also made it popular among visitors there to the museum. The boat became an inspiration for a book, a DVD, even an exhibit at what used to be the Holy Land theme park, I believe, in Orlando, Florida. What's interesting also is the way that this vessel is known simply as the Jesus boat. The Jesus boat. In our scripture passage today, we're introduced to the Simon boat. It belongs to a fisherman by that name. He was standing there by the lake washing his nets. We're told when Jesus decides to use Simon's boat as a floating pulpit. There were crowds, we're told, craving the word of God, had gotten so large that Jesus needed to create some space between himself and his listeners. So he got in the boat, had them push out from shore a little bit, and he taught them God's word. Think about how boats are a big deal in the Bible. Noah in his ark surviving the flood. Baby Moses in his floating basket sheltering from Pharaoh. Jonah on a ship to Tarshish fleeing from the Lord, trying to escape from the call of the Lord. At numerous key points in the story of God's relationship with his people and with the world, boats are an essential part of the story and the advancement of God's redeeming purposes. And that includes the story of Jesus. Boats are mentioned frequently in the Gospels, in Jesus' life and ministry. They play an important role in his life and ministry. If some of you use the Upper Room devotional guide, you may have noticed that the cover for the current January-February issue depicts Jesus calling Simon and Andrew. In this case, it's a portrayal of Matthew's version of the call. Matthew's narration is slightly different from the depiction in Luke's gospel, but one of the elements that remains constant is the boats. Those boats that Simon and Andrew would have used to navigate the Sea of Galilee were an essential part of who they were. And then when we get into Luke's version of the call of Jesus in today's text, they're also a sign of who these disciples will be. So from now on, says Jesus, you will fish for people. And then immediately after that, according to Luke, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, that probably doesn't mean that they completely left fishing behind, more than likely. Being on a boat, being out on the water, continued to be an essential part of their lives and their livelihood. But now they had been gathered up themselves. They had been gathered up by the master fisher and brought aboard a vessel populated by messengers of God's arriving kingdom. The call of God through Christ had come into their lives. In some parts of the Christian faith, the central part of a sanctuary is called the nave. It derives from a Latin term that means ship or boat. The church, as a community of Jesus followers, came to be viewed as a vessel of salvation, symbolized by a boat, the image of a boat. And the early church, when they took on this image of a boat, they didn't necessarily have anything fancy in mind, just a humble boat with a mast and a sail, because what matters most isn't necessarily the impressiveness of the boat. It was the presence of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, his followers, that makes the difference. I like the way that one pastor describes it. He reflects back on a cruise he took with his family, and he would regularly refer to the vessel as a boat, to which his father would consistently reply and politely correct him, "It's not a boat, it's a ship," he'd say. And out of that experience, the pastor began to think a lot about the differences between a ship and a boat. Among those, he says, is this: it doesn't take much courage to sign up for a cruise. Typically, the gravest potential dangers are gaining 10 pounds from the buffet or twisting an ankle on the dance floor. Now, those were words pre-COVID. We know the dangers involved with cruising as well these days, too. But he says, in ancient days, however, the sea was terrifying. It was believed to be the one part of creation that had not been tamed by God. In an age when everyone believed in sea monsters and an earth so flat that you could sail right off the edge, it took guts to set sail in a creaky wooden boat. Ancient sailors had to trust in God and in each other. when Jesus calls us to follow him, he's not asking us to sign up for a cruise. He's calling us really aboard to climb into a vulnerable vessel that can face headwinds, get tossed around by unexpected threats. Sometimes the boat gets rocked, and sometimes the boat needs to get rocked. There's one gentleman named Derek. He tells about how he and a friend, Mike, went out for an afternoon on the lake to do some fishing, to, as he put it, baptize some new fishing lures. They spent several hours fishing with no luck and decided to head back before things got too dark. And on their way back, the motor started to sputter some, and Mike began to realize it looked like they were probably running out of gas. There might be enough left. It looked like there was enough maybe left to try to get them there. There was a little fuel, but it was too low to reach the fuel line. So Mike came up with an idea. If Derek would position himself in the middle of the boat with one foot on each side of the boat and rock it back and forth, they could probably get enough fuel in it to start the engine, which worked. And then if he kept rocking it, they might have enough going into the system to get all the way back. Took about 15 minutes of Mike working the motor and the throttle and Derek swaying back and forth, rocking the boat, but they had enough to make it back and they got to the ramp. And that event, says Derek, taught me a valuable lesson. Sometimes you have to rock the boat if you want to make any progress. Committing your life to Christ and climbing into this boat of disciples called the church, something we can reflect on here today, it's really a ticket to disruption. It's not really a summons to calmness and continual peace and always quiet waters. Like the great preacher D.L. Moody once said, "I thought when I became a Christian, I had nothing to do but just to lay my oars in the bottom of the boat and float along. But I soon found that I would have to go against the current." We're not here as disciples and followers of Jesus because our primary pursuit is a life of ease and comfort. We're here because of the call of Christ, which we've seen in different stories in our scriptures today. And once you hear and respond to this call of Christ in your life, once the call of Christ gathers you into this boat, it doesn't really take long to realize that life in this community of disciples isn't always smooth sailing. Our congregations, like every other single community of followers of Jesus, we encounter storms. We run into rough waters. We face headwinds of different kinds. Life in this boat called the church, it can get discouraging. It can get unsettling. It can get frightening. And we sometimes find ourselves in deep and uncertain waters, like a pandemic, trying to figure out what direction to go. And in situations like this, it's natural for questions to start to arise. How can we, this boat of disciples, stay on course during a situation like this, in a time like this? How do we keep from sinking? What are the spiritual supplies that we need in order to weather a storm like this in this boat as a community of followers of Jesus? Among the passengers in the boat, who needs to be doing what? Who has what job and what task? Who on the boat is keeping a lookout to see if somewhere, somehow, some way, there's some light on the horizon that we're actually headed toward? These kinds of things. Maybe a more uncertain time like this, when we feel like we're further away from the safety of the shore, can be a good opportunity for us to reflect on what it means for us as a congregation not to just stay afloat, but to actually make progress in our mission and in in our work and ministry that God has given us. For instance, to think through questions like, what are the places in our church's life and ministry where we need to assess the condition of our vessel and strengthen its structure and its condition? When we think about this boat called a congregation of Christians, what are those places where we need to strengthen the structure and condition of our vessel? There's a writer named Anne Lamott. She tells about a friend of hers who came to her once and said, you know, I feel like I've lived my whole life like the professor on Gilligan's Island. Some of you remember the professor on Gilligan's Island. He found time to fashion a generator out of palm fronds, create vaccine out of algae, but never got around to fixing that hole in the boat itself. How many people actually do, her friend asked. So maybe as we examine this sailing vessel called Grace Baptist Church in our life together as a community of followers of Jesus, are there holes that need to be repaired to strengthen our sailing vessel so that we can reach our destination in Christ? What areas of our church's life and mission need repair or restoration or improvement so that we can do more of what Christ has called us to do? Within our fellowship of deacons, and soon hopefully as well among our church council, we'll be talking more about where we as a church need to be focusing our God-given energy and resources during the year that's ahead. For instance, what are some options for how our congregation can re-engage with and reconnect with our community, especially in light of the closing of our daycare ministry? What are the possible interfaces we have with our community, and what forms of ministry to try to reconnect under conditions and circumstances like this? So that's one possibility set of questions. How can we take the way that we've been able to utilize technology during this pandemic to enhance our ministry some and build on that in order to try to reach more people or to connect with others in ways that will give them ways somehow, some way to participate in the life of our church and the work of God's kingdom? These are the kinds of questions that we can explore when you're further away from the safety of the shore and out in deeper waters trying to figure out what direction do we go? What's our destination? It's an opportune time to think about these kinds of things that we can do to enhance our boat, strengthen our vessel, be more effective and fruitful in our ministry, in our work for God's kingdom. This lady named Joyce Wright, she tells about a time when she and her husband, Norm, they were out on a lake to go fishing, and they hadn't caught anything. She said Norm had rowed really to 5 or 6 different spots on the lake, but they hadn't been able to catch anything. So finally, with a big grin on his face, he looked at her and said, well, now we know where we should fish, and that's because we know where the fish aren't. We know where the fish aren't, so now we can really start fishing in a spot where we can know they are. Now, she shared that story as an example of Norm's sort of positive outlook on life and his enthusiasm for life. But I think there's also wisdom in there for us as we discern the Lord's direction for our church's ministry. Because like them, we need to know where the fish aren't and also where the fish are. We need to know where and when and how God wants us to be fishing for people for the sake of the gospel, and where, in the case of our particular church's mission, we should be doing that fishing, and maybe where we shouldn't in order to be faithful to God's purposes. We need to be praying asking God to show us how to navigate in this kind of current situation and context, to be praying, Lord, when it comes to this boat called Grace Baptist Church, what direction should we go? Where should we be fishing in the unique ministry you have for this church at this time? What destinations do we need to be focused on and heading for in order to cast our net for the sake of the gospel? This kind of prayer. And I think that as we seek the Lord and go further into this year that's ahead, He'll work to move us out of the safety of the shore of maintenance and further out into the deeper waters of mission. There's a difference. Difference in staying on the safe shore of just maintenance and being out in the deeper waters of mission, where He guides us and wants us, so that we can continue to discern where He wants us to be fishing and in what ways, and what should that look like, and among whom, so that we can continue to cast our nets for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. O Lord, who calls us to follow You and brings us into this vulnerable vessel called Your church, we thank You for how You have been at work among us and through us across time, casting the net of the gospel. And we pray now especially for Your guidance and direction where we are in our current context and situation. Show us when and where and how You want us to be fishing and in what ways. Give us wisdom and discernment and direction for the destinations You want to move us toward, and how You want us in this time and place to be bearing witness for the gospel and sharing the good news of the kingdom, so that others may hear Your call and respond and come join us in Your kingdom and in its life and ministry. Lord, we just continue to seek You now as a church to direct us through this time, and help us not to settle for maintenance. Take us further out in deeper waters for mission, for the sake of Jesus Christ, and in His name we pray. Amen.